From the KTO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Peña with a local and statewide news update. Travelers entering Alaska by land or sea from out of state are required to complete COVID-19 testing procedures and travel declaration forms, state officials said recently. These requirements have already been in place for about 2 weeks in several Alaska airports as part of the state's Health Mandate 10, which addresses interstate and international travel. Here's Jeremy Zedek from the State Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management.
We wanted to make sure we had a process for those travelers that come over land or by sea to comply with Health Mandate 10, give them good information and give them the resources that they need to be in compliance with these necessary health precautions.
Zedek said the state is anticipating more people driving over the border and landing in ports over the summer months. Travelers driving into Haines, Skagway, or Beaver Creek will receive a travel declaration form and a testing voucher from U.S. Customs and Border Patrol. Forms can be submitted by email, and travelers will then be contacted with follow-up information and testing instructions, says Zedek. Maritime port procedures vary between communities. According to the EOC, some communities are considering mobile screening facilities, while others are relying on harbor masters to direct incoming vessels to testing sites. Zedek says, similar to land travelers, mariners will be given travel declaration forms and testing vouchers and pointed to their nearest testing site. The EOC recommends checking in with local harbor masters prior to arrival to understand local screening and testing requirements. Whether traveling by land, sea, or air, it's primarily on the traveler to follow through with screening procedures, says Zedek.
We are trying to educate Alaskans so they can recognize that complying with the mandates are really in their best interest, in the best interest of their friends and family members and their community.
Zedek says they've seen an overwhelmingly willingness from travelers to comply with health mandates. Currently, the state doesn't have numbers on how many people have been screened entering Alaska by land and sea. And there are no cruise ships in Juneau this summer, but recently a giant vessel owned by a Texas billionaire pulled into port, a private cruise ship of sorts. And as KTO's Elizabeth Jenkins reports, many locals are wondering what the COVID-19 protocols are for mega yachts.
Travelers who fly into Alaska have to follow state mandates, like submitting a COVID-19 test. But what about visitors who arrive by boat or luxury yacht? Matt Cresswell says they're on the hook to follow those rules, too. Cresswell recently became the harbor master at the city and borough of Juneau Docks and Harbors.
It's been interesting. I took over as the harbor master in early March when all of this began and was looking forward to a busiest ever cruise ship season, and my role quickly changed.
Cresswell is now in charge of making sure travelers who arrive by boat from outside of Alaska are abiding by the state's travel mandates. That usually starts with some kind of check-in when they arrive in port. Passengers can agree to take a COVID-19 test, but Cresswell says there are other ways to fulfill the mandate.
And it's not necessarily receiving a COVID-19 test. It's the travel declaration form, and that's where the traveler has the option to say they have tested 72 hours prior to and will follow guidelines upon arrival in Alaska.
Or he says if passengers have been on board a ship for 2 weeks without disembarking, that counts as self-quarantine. Of course, that shouldn't be too difficult with access to amenities like a floating spa. But what about the 357-foot boat Bravo Eugenia tied up in a private dock in downtown Juneau? That boat belongs to Jerry Jones, who owns the Dallas Cowboys. Cresswell couldn't comment who was on board the ship. However, he said the passengers complied with state mandates. In Juneau, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins.
The national conversation around systemic racism and police violence against people of color has reached pretty much every corner of the country, including Sitka. Sitkans have led protests, a vigil, and a march to raise awareness this month. KCAW's Aaron McKinstry has more.
Around 14 people stand in Sitka's main roundabout, wearing masks and holding signs. One reads, "End racism." Another is filled with names of Black people killed by police across the country. Demonstrator Devin Parsley says she's here to stand in solidarity with Sitka's Black community and the National Black Lives Matter movement.
So as a white passing Indigenous person, it's important that I tell you that this movement here in Sitka is not for us. This movement is not led by us.
She's also here because she has local concerns around police violence and justice for Sitka's Native community, and around gentrification and racism in Sitka.
I don't know. I don't feel like there is much questioning of racism in this town, and there's a lot of uncomfortability in talking about race. And even just standing here every day, we see the true colors of so many of the people just covering my face standing out here. People don't recognize me off the bat. Flip us off.
Seasonal worker Willie Wooten also attended the protests at the roundabout. He says that as a Black man in Sitka, he hasn't experienced racism or negative interactions with the police here, but he does have national concerns.
Because there's real people of color dying on the streets every day. They're still getting shot by the police as we speak. It has not changed.
Over the last month, that conversation has been hashed out on the town's Facebook group, Sitka Chatters. Sitka Police Chief Robert Beatty added his voice during an assembly meeting earlier this month.
I'm Robert Beatty, also known by my Tlingit name, Kadad'ah.
Beatty has served as Sitka's police chief for a little over a year. In a prepared statement, Beatty noted the recent national dialogue, calling for police department defunding and even outright abolishment.
There's been a movement for radical reform within law enforcement. I can assure you that our practices are current and we meet or exceed all legal standards. We continually adapt our means and methods to provide better services.
Beatty took over the Sitka Police Department during a tumultuous time. The department has grappled with historically high turnover and fallout from several internal lawsuits. The department also has a history of using excessive force. It came under fire in 2015 when a video surfaced of police tasing then 18-year-old Mount Edgecombe High School student Franklin Hugendorn over 10 times. Hugendorn is a citizen of the native village of Koyuk, outside of Nome. The incident prompted outcry from the Sitka Tribe of Alaska and an FBI investigation into the department. Beatty made big promises when he took over as police chief. He told assembly members that in his first year leading the department, he's partnered on various projects with the Sitka Tribe, established a weekly officer training, and worked to represent Sitka's diverse identities while attempting to build up community trust.
You need to have confidence and trust in your police department. I will say one thing. We are your friends, your loved ones, and your neighbors. We hear you. We are you.
Assembly members didn't respond to Beatty's statement, but during public comment, a few community members said Sitka's police department still has a long way to go. Those concerns came up at the roundabout, too.
My ticket name is Kashichla. I am Kiksedi from the Point House here in Sitka. My people have been here 10,000 years. My English name is Louise Brady.
Brady has ongoing concerns with the Sitka Police Department. In 1979, Brady's friend was shot and killed by a police officer in Sitka. And when her son was in high school, she says she helped his friends, who were mostly Native, navigate interactions with the local police.
Anytime I would see a police officer had stopped one of our young people, I would stop and get out of my car and make sure, you know, that whatever was going on, that they knew their rights and what they could and couldn't do.
She's in agreement with the Defund the Police movement that advocates shifting funds from police departments toward social services, mental health care, and drug and alcohol treatment.
So many of our people are jailed for substance abuse and for other issues.
But with a department that's already struggling for funds, it's unclear where that money could come from. With help from Catherine Rose, I'm Erin McKinstry, reporting in Sitka.
A man is suing the state over plans to distribute federal coronavirus relief aid. He is asking a judge to block disbursement of a portion of set aside for small businesses after Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy's administration reinterpreted the rules. Eric Forer wants the money to be spent according to defined standards. He is seeking a court order that would either halt the disbursement of money set aside for businesses until lawmakers approve what his court filing calls a valid expenditure, or block spending of the funds that do not adhere to a proposal previously ratified by the legislature. And Alaska needs help putting a name to the face of the state's newest celebrity moose. The Juneau Empire reported the State Division of Forestry is holding a contest to name the cartoon moose that will represent the agency's statewide fire prevention campaign. This is KTOO News.